Blog Talk Radio.
This is Jane Hoffman. You're listening to the Jane Radio Network. It's the slowest growing network on the radio. Tonight we don't have an introduction. John and I are experimenting with a new network. The digits to dial are 323-642-1691. Due to a financial hijacking, we aren't going premium until May 9th. Yes, we have John on the line.
Hi.
Good afternoon, John.
How's it going, Miss Janessa Hoffman?
My introduction was, this is live at the Jane Radio Network. It's the slowest growing internet on the internet.
Yes, the reign of Jane.
Has the planet shifted? We've shifted to a new area code, a new dynamic, and a commercial-free radio zone with no capitalistic incentives and no anarchist thoughts.
It's new and improved. It's mother tested. It's NASA approved. Kids, do not try this at home.
Anyways, so now I actually can see the switchboard. I don't have to pay $22 a month and not be able to see my own stats. And speaking of which, the eye in the sky just bothered me 5 minutes ago.
It's actually on delayed.
Yes, no more eye in the sky.
Or voice from beyond the asylum.
We're totally running the show.
So tonight we have two topics. We have Clipper basketball and Killer Prom, just like the title, the hype says. Now, we're going to spend about 20 minutes on the Clippers and 10 minutes on the Prom. Did you find the website that I sent you on Marin?
I actually have been running through Los Angeles helping the poor, feeding those that are starving, and also recovering my guitar, which was it was placed in someone's trunk as a favor.
Oh,
you know,
no.
They said, "Here, let me hold your guitar in the trunk while we go, you know, at a restaurant and talk over." I had a friend going through a divorce, so I'm, you know, giving him advice. And, of course, they drove off with my guitar in the trunk. So I had to chase that down, and I just ran in here and dialed the number, and behold, here I stand.
Well, it's okay because you'll be happy to know that Marin Sanchez, the girl that was stabbed to death by her would-be prom date, is actually a singer with a good voice. So a few minutes later into the segment, I'll play her probably the last 2 minutes of the show. Okay?
So basically, you're saying that she's going to have a number one hit, even if she's not around to hear it.
Yeah, she actually posted it on YouTube. I think it was a high school talent show. But I actually think that you'd really like her voice.
Wow. Oh, I'm just dying to hear it.
Yeah, it was on the YouTube channel. It was dubbed the Roaring Twenties Project, but she has a very, it's kind of like a voice like Jewel, you know, like the type who can sing good ballads. So we'll get to that segment at the end, but at the top of the hour, we have this powerful story that you shared with me this morning about Don Sterling. Why don't you launch into it for our guests?
Well, living in the Los Angeles area, we're always there 6 degrees of separation. Everyone knows somebody who knows somebody that's big time, and you hear enough stories. I had a friend that actually worked for Donald Sterling's household, so she knows his wife. And for years, Donald had girlfriends, even though he's married, and he kind of parades them around. And so recently, his latest girlfriend, I believe, set him up, really just wanted to exploit him or make some money off of him or work a deal. But basically she tape recorded a conversation she had with him, and she worked the conversation. Basically she would show up at Clipper games and sit next to him and sit in prominent places and bring some of her friends, some of them African-American. She would pose with pictures with people such as Magic Johnson or other celebrity people or black entertainers or performers, and post them on her Twitter or on her Instagram, and that's how everyone networks down here. Donald's really old school. He's, racist old school. And his friends, his white racist kind of friends, you know, redneck, old, however you want to say it, it's just the way things are, they probably talk bad to him in private, like, oh, hey, she's with you, now she's with this other powerful black man, you know, who used to be a Laker part owner. And now he owns the Dodgers. And so I'm sure there's a bunch of... It'd be the same as if Donald posted pictures of himself with other cheerleaders and younger gals. She would be jealous as all heck. And so she basically tape-recorded conversations where he's saying incriminating things, such as, please don't bring your black friends to the games. Don't post up pictures with Magic Johnson. As a favor to me. It's his seats. It's his place. And he asked her to respect that. As racist as that sounds, as bad, as horrible as that is, we all have our preferences. Now, kind of the angle I'm hitting a little bit right now is like, he has a right to his private thoughts, good or evil, whether he's racist, whether he's a Nazi, whether he has thoughts that are, any person. Whatever your thoughts, good or evil, they're your private thoughts. And when you confide with someone and someone exploits that, it just seems like we need to weigh this with a grain of salt here.
Well,
you can imagine. Go ahead.
When you frame the debate that way, it doesn't sound as racist. What if she posted a picture of herself with another talented white basketball player? Like Bibby, Mike Bibby.
I'll give you an example. There's, when you start talking about discrimination, because this really hits to the point of being an American and having equal rights and equal access and opportunities, but yet it also goes the other way with freedom of speech, with the ability to think as you want, to be a free thinker, and that's being American. Now, in the case of the NBA, he is in a market where they're exploiting black entertainment. I mean, that's his business. 85%
of his... Are you saying that black players are being exploited? Because if they're making $5 to $10 million, some of them, I don't think that's exploitation.
Well, it is when about, I'm just guessing, several million, maybe 10 or 20 million, are pursuing that dream. And, yes, one out of a, what are the odds of being an NBA player, one out of a, a million or half a million or 100,000, whatever the ratio is, those aren't good betting odds, right? I mean, if you wanted to send your son to college to either get a degree or be an NBA basketball player, you would go for the degree. It's just the odds of him making are so rare. But we have all kinds of – here's the problem. Is in the NBA, it's a product. It's a corporation. They have to be politically correct. So that's not a problem with that. Publicly, he can't spout off stuff. He represents the brand. It's a collective. I get that. But this is talking about his own in his own comfort of his thoughts, his own conversation with someone. He's going, okay, maybe he doesn't want mariachis at his games. Maybe he doesn't want religious people. Maybe he doesn't want, someone like Tim Tebow, right? Someone that would religiously spark things. Maybe he doesn't want Jerry Falwell and Pat Robertson sitting next to him. Maybe he doesn't want poor people or really old people that are in wheelchairs sitting in his section. I'm not saying that's right. I'm just saying that's a preference.
Is it like a windowed exclusive area, like one of those box seats?
It's kind of in a prime time. Now, I'm not sure if it's exactly courtside, but it's very close to the front of the, you know, and where he sits is photographed. The cameras hit it. You know, obviously the owners, you know where they're going to sit, and if you go to the games regularly. And the thing about it is that's his preference. Like, or in other words, I probably, if I own my own club, I probably won't want Justin Bieber. I probably won't want a bunch of rappers with tattoos, smoking pot, hanging out and taking, you know, if I was married or I had a friend, it's like I don't want, you know, the hoodies and the gangsters. Doesn't mean I'm racist. Doesn't mean I hate them. It just means I would prefer, I don't want that all over up on my page, on the wall of my Facebook or whatever.
Well, you know how they say you're known by the company you keep? Like, I don't know if this girl's a loose cannon or she's 25. I don't even know her age. But apparently, somewhere along the lines of their open or closed dating, he made her angry, and she decided to call him on the carpet. So now that the cat's out of the bag, what are the consequences for him?
Well, they have a kind of a big, it's like the 800-pound gorilla in the room. I mean, there's several problems. First of all, if most people, they just take the transcript and they glean what they want. But if you read the whole conversation, five or six times, he says, listen, I just don't want to talk about this. And she starts prying. Well, don't you like, you know, why don't you like these people coming in, or do you like black people? And he's like, listen, in the world I have to deal with, in the people that I work with, he works with people that are prejudiced, that are biased. He says, this just, for me, this isn't what I want. And could you not want Magic Johnson, the most successful black man in L.A., you know, to be associated with your product? But the point is, that's his personal thought. Like, what about owners who...
Where is this guy from originally, do you know?
Well, he was in real estate, and actually the Lakers owner, Jerry Buss, they did some real estate deals before, and Jerry had the magic touch. And so Donald did some deals with them, and actually Jerry helped enable him to become an owner. What's kind of interesting is Jerry Buss, for years, has paraded around with, you know, little 22-year-old girls. Of course, he wasn't cheating.
That's kind of non-tacky. That's tacky, too.
But it's preference. You know, they're using him for the exposure and for sitting in the Lakers seats and networking and in the whole spotlight. And so this girl's exploiting Donald. Now, here's the problem is that if the league tries to legally go after him, he didn't give consent to this phone conversation. He didn't say, hey, am I being taped? She didn't say, do I have your permission? So if they were to do anything legal against him, and Donald Sterling is very legalistic, you know, he's, I think, a former attorney, if I'm not mistaken. He certainly is no stranger to lawsuit. And if they took illegally obtained information and tried to build a case against him, they probably are stuck with him.
He's between a rock and a hard place. You know, I can see private conversations between people, but when you really think about the NBA, I would say a good 60% to 70% are black, and I do think it's a little narrow-minded to say don't take a picture with Magic Johnson. I mean, she's not a celebrity, and she would be awestruck by sitting with any kind of celebrity, and she's probably not thinking in terms of color. So
I do think,
what if she was with the tall Chinese guy? I can't remember his name off the top.
Oh, yeah, Yao Ming, I believe.
Yeah, so, I mean, like you said, Magic Johnson is the face of L.A. for successful black business. He has his hand in tons of entrepreneurial projects as well as nonprofit. And I do think the guy's a little narrow-minded considering
what field he's in. Let's build it this way. How many owners have homophobic thoughts? How many owners have mob associations or have done something illegal, something wrong? How about this? How about half the guys in the locker room are going to leave the stadium and put in a CD that promote nothing but the N-word, right? And no one gives a hoot about that, do we? But the fact that it's written or that it was in a tape suddenly now we got a...
Well, did she release the tape, or is it just his word versus her word?
Oh, somehow TMZ got a hold of it. I wonder how that happened.
I just happened to be watching TMZ the other day. You know, a lot of times they don't fill their shows with very many quality celebrities. They even nailed a doctor in New York for ringing up a $136,000 bill at a lap dancing bar in 4 days. Some unknown, you know.
They're looking for scandal.
We have a caller from the 424. I'm going to bring the caller in, okay?
Nice.
1 second. A caller. This is Jane and John. We have a caller from the 424. How may I introduce you? You're on the air.
Don't be shy.
Okay, maybe he's just listening, so I'm gonna mute him back.
Right, and if they want to jump in, they can. But
yeah.
I guess the point of what I'm saying is, what if in your dark heart of hearts you're anti-Semitic? What if you're a Nazi? What if you think thoughts about someone should be, you know, killed? What if you're a child molester? What if you, in your mind, you've had rape fantasies? I'm not saying it's good. I'm not justifying it. I'm just saying, where do we start or stop? You know, do we start doing mind control tests and you know, we got to trace every conversation and everything? Like, if he publicly states this, fine, crucify him. But this is his own personal space, is kind of what I'm talking about.
Okay, well, there's a two-edged sword here. First of all, I'm not saying he's well known, but he has a high place in society by owning a team.
Absolutely.
In the same way that the LA Dodgers owner got flack for having someone getting the crap beat out of them in their parking lot, that owner was ultimately responsible, even though he didn't choose to be. And then eventually he ended up selling the team. But I have a black child. He's 6'2" and I'm 5'2". And sometimes in Minnesota culture, I'm not embarrassed to have a child like that, but my son said 5 years ago, well, I want a black mom. Or when I'm in a store around a bunch of stuffy white people, I sometimes think in the back of my head, are people going to look down on me because I have a black child? It's
right. Donald Sterling would let you sit down. And your son, they would ask to go outside. And
so I'm not racist, but I feel a sense of racism around me. I'm not embarrassed, but my mom would never approve of interracial children. But she happened to die. She died 8 days before Lauren was born, so she never had to deal with it. But the fact of the matter is I grew up in a society that has racial elements.
Right.
And just like, Minnesota is a very interracial state because we have the highest percent per capita of interracial marriages, even higher than Texas and California.
Really?
Yeah, Mr. Basketball, the one who married Kim Kardashian.
Right.
I forget his name, but he's from here and he's mixed. So,
Kanye.
Yeah, even... Mm. Yeah, no, not Kanye.
Chris Humphries, got it. Right, before Kanye.
Well, see, my sister's friend, my sister graduated in 1973, and her friend who graduated in 71 had a biracial child in the 70s, and she was considered one of the first people to have a biracial child, at least in the St. Paul east side of the Twin Cities. So
oh, by the
know,
way,
but,
by the way,
yeah.
Slick says he's going to move to Minnesota.
There's plenty of beautiful black women here.
Well,
including Chris Humphrey's sister.
I dated, you know, when I was in the dating phase, you know, like you date blondes, you date Hispanics, and, you know, different nationalities. And one thing that came up with dating a black woman is, like, it's not an issue. Am I willing down the line to have kids? And am I willing to defend that kid? Or cause there's going to be times when that child is alone. He's 7 or 8 years old on the playground, and kids are going to bully him. And am I going to subject them to it? Now, some people say, hey, just live life and, you know, don't think about the consequences. But there are times, like, what if you are black and you're in an area that's KKK? Do you walk in the bar and say, hey, saddle me up here a drink? Or do you say, you know what? I know I have my rights, but the right of way is not one worth dying for in this situation, like choose your battles. So these are tough things. Now, tonight, example, the Clippers made a big stand. They wore their jerseys inside out during the shoot-around, and they wore black wristbands and, you know, a couple other things to symbolize their unity. Well, let's think about
that.
They
did that?
Yes, but here's the
deal. You know, it is kind of shameful that, I mean, now that it's out, the owner should take some ownership. I mean, why should they have to act like the Black Panthers on their own court?
Well, here's another point to that, and that is these guys make millions of dollars. You know, whether it's Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, you know, DeAndre Jordan, and so forth. And I'm not in their shoes. This is their job. I understand that. This is their career. So in that way, I can't judge that. But I can judge this, and that is they're not out of a job if they don't play. If they protest this game, if they walk, they're going to make millions of dollars anyway. This game is inconsequential in that matter. And they're not the best team. I know someone will say, well, they have a chance
to
win the championship.
Well, they were a couple of years ago. Now, John, may I interrupt you a second? I'm going to see if... This caller did have a red mic on, which means they may want to talk, and we only have 8 minutes left, so I want to give this person a chance. So let me check.
Let's bring them in.
If they don't say anything, then I'll put them back on mute.
Cool.
Hi, 424. Did you want to say something? Okay, we won't hold you up here. We'll keep talking.
Okay. But don't be shy. Keep trying. Maybe they're having technical difficulties.
Yeah, because
you know.
If they push one, then the red microphone goes on. Too bad we only have 30 minutes tonight. I'm sorry, audience, but we got jacked and hijacked by Albany, New York, so we had to start our own radio network on the spur of the moment.
We're radical.
I've been on the air 3 years, and I'm reduced to this. Go ahead, John, with your thought.
Well, what I was going to say is, okay, this is their big stand to wear their uniforms backwards. It's like, you know what? I'm sure Muhammad Ali, who sacrificed his career in the prime of his life, I'm sure he'd be proud. I'm sure Martin Luther, I'm sure Rosa Parks, I'm sure Jackie Robinson, I'm sure all these people and the countless others who have faced, you know, torture, hanging, death threats, you know, John Carlos at the Mexico Olympics, 68. The point is, listen, they could have made a historic statement. And I know people are defending them. It's like, hey, they're not playing for Donald Sterling. They're playing for the Clippers, and they're playing for their fans and for themselves. I understand that. But do you know what would have happened if they hadn't played? Has any NBA game ever been boycotted in a playoff game? Can you imagine the sense of power?
Is this a playoff?
They're in the playoffs. Yeah, this is the third game in. It's an important game, yes. But the point is
the deepest damage they could do is now win the tournament, and then maybe let's just say they only make it to the Western Conference Finals or whatever division they're in. I think they'll have their moment of truth and be able to say something. But this is, you're right. It's not a good time for them to walk off the court.
What I'm saying is it would have been a historic moment for them. Like 30 years from now, you would went, you know, there was one NBA game that wasn't ever played because a white owner was, you know, treated his players like they were black slaves. I mean, he didn't want black people in his arena, and they made a stand. They're still going to make millions of dollars, but you would remember Chris Paul instead of those silly, you know, commercials. You would remember Blake Griffin instead of him jumping over a Kia automobile. And I'm not saying that they're bad people. I'm not saying they're not men. I'm just saying there was a golden moment to stand up in black history. and make a powerful statement, because the league would have had to say, well, wait a second, we have all this advertising money, we have what are we going to do, put an asterisk that this team didn't play? We got to figure, you know, they have a new commissioner. It's like, call Donald Sterling and get him into my office right now.
All right, remember when that one guy called the national women's basketball team nappy-headed hoes?
Yeah.
I think, I forget the guy's name now, it slipped my mind, but Don Imus.
Imus in the morning.
And he got suspended from radio for a due amount of time. Now, he's like a mouthpiece, you know, like he was a radio person talking about sports, and obviously he had to get sanctioned. This is the owner. Things are a little more difficult and hairy. It's not going to leave a stain on the players, but it's going to leave a stain on his reputation. That kind of stain doesn't get redeemed. You know what I mean?
Well,
even if he sells the team, he's still going to have mud on his face.
Unfortunately, the most important color tonight was the color green. I've been at jobs before where when there was a strong moral situation, I was willing to walk. I tell a boss, you know, there's a lot of things, a lot of compromises we make, but this issue right here, I'm walking. It's like you can't lie to the banks and do fraudulent money deals and try to sign it off or sign me on. You can't do it. I'll walk right here. And that's just how I feel about it. It's like I just think someone should have made a stronger stand. And I know, hey, a lot of money, right? A lot of money, a lot of exposure, and they've worked all year for this. I get that. I'm not saying that they're bad. I'm just saying they missed a golden opportunity, a powerful moment in history.
That's a
and
good
it's okay.
point. The other thing is that owner has to realize is that when you're that powerful and you have that much stature, you have to be careful who you let in your inner circle. You know, like he was busted on more than one level. He was busted for infidelity. So,
well, that's, people aren't morally
you know,
outraged that he's commits adultery and parades his girlfriends. This is the society we've become. You think about it.
Well,
but
I don't think for
it's not even an issue.
Even shameful. He's been doing it for years.
Well, yeah.
You know.
We don't even care.
We only have 2 minutes and 40 seconds, so we're each gonna take a minute apiece to wrap up the show. I'll have to save the killer prom and the other topic. Once we get off air, we can discuss what time we'll do our show Wednesday, but what are your final thoughts? You have about a minute and 10 seconds.
My final thoughts are advice for the Clippers owner, Donald Sterling. Know your hoe. And basically, follow the truth wherever it leads you, unless it's to a Clipper game.
Okay, my final thoughts is I lived in L.A. 17 years total. I was a Laker fan because I was there during the back-to-backs, the two in the 80s and the three back-to-backs later on. You know, I heard the Clippers really rose to fame in those final years. I think they started becoming successful when Lamar Odom was on the team. Then he dropped out, but the Clippers have something to be proud of too, and they deserve to have an owner that will stand by all people of color. And let's face it, black people dominate the NBA. It's not a secret. So, you know, if he wants to pick a white man's sport, then go promote a white golf player or something. I mean, maybe I sound racist, but it is ridiculous not to want to have somebody in your box. And if that's, you know, and it's okay, you know, John's right. He does have rights to privacy. But for me, he seems a little narrow-minded to be, you know, that successful in life and then just have that kind of point of view. I mean, just think of all the people who attend Laker games. And
right.
Latinos are a big supporter of Laker games, too. So That's all I pretty much have to say about basketball. Is just think of the wide margin. L.A. has 300 different ethnic groups. My friend Nikki's Armenian, and she loves hockey. And I don't know. I just think for someone who resides in Los Angeles, he's pretty narrow-minded.
for a wide owner in one of the biggest sports, probably the second or third biggest sport in the world, and to be controlling black employees and to not want black people at his games is terrible. I guess the question would be, if Obama showed up, would he want him to be able to sit down because is he white or is he black? Only Michael Jackson knows.
Luckily, we have 0 minutes left. We haven't cut off, but let's discuss what we're going to do Wednesday. Thank you for joining us, 424, and hopefully there were other listeners. God bless
Yay.
You. It's Sunday night. Good night,
God
Sean.
Bless. Good night,
Good
Jay.
Night.